of the Revelation, the book of Revelation. I saw somebody the other day that put a little post on, I guess it was on Facebook or a little thing that I got anyway, and it said, there is no book of Revelations. And that's true. There's just a revelation. And it is, if you read your introductions usually, now some Bibles may have it a little differently, but it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And what that means is, I know there's a lot of things that are revealed in this, but it is actually a revelation of Him and who He is. And especially you read that first chapter, you see about how that He is revealed to John there on the Isle of Patmos. And John said, when I turned around, I heard a voice. But when I turned around and he saw him in all of that glory and splendor. And man, he realized that it was the Lord. And he said, I fell before his feet as dead. But he said, he touched me and said, I got something I need for you to do. Write all these things down. And that's the revelation. It's the things that are revealed to John, but they're revealed by Jesus. So, you know, anybody gets you a little confused or ask some questions about that, that's what we're talking about, all right? But I want you to look in chapter number three of the book of Revelation. And as you're looking there, if you're familiar with that at all, chapters 2 and 3 tell us about seven churches. It tells us about seven churches, and it gives you, a message from Jesus to each one of those churches. Now, those things can be taken in a lot of different ways. I mean, there's a normal printed version way of looking at it and saying, Jesus talked to the seven churches. And he did. He talked to those seven churches. And if you look at the names of the cities, all of them that are mentioned, they are round about the area of what we now call Turkey and headed over towards the western area, headed toward Europe. But you see, those are the churches that are mentioned there, the seven of them. And you see it that way. I mean, just the normal, there it is version that he wrote to the seven churches. But a lot of folks look at it and they say that it is prophetic. And it is a prophetic thing about the churches and to the churches. And then there's other folks that look at it and they say, well, it speaks of seven different church ages as you progress through those churches and you see the church history, if you will. You can look at it that aspect as a historical marker for the different kind of church. And I want us to look at the church at Philadelphia today, and that's verses 7. We'll read down verses 7 through 13, and we'll talk about the church again this morning. And today, I just want to talk about the appointment of the church. The appointment of the church. Now, the church has been appointed to some things. And the Lord mentions these churches. And really, when you go through and you read the other six beside this one in Philadelphia, whenever you read the other six, there's usually something that the Lord has to say to them that maybe he has a commendation for them, but then he has some things that they need to see to and work on. But here at the Church of Philadelphia, let's read about it, and you'll see that the Lord has good things to say about the Church at Philadelphia. It says in verse number 7, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from an hour, or from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the morning. Thank you for this time of blessing. Thank you for the time to just come and fellowship and worship with your people. And I pray now you add your touch and your blessing to every word, everything that's said, everything that's done here today. Just bless us as the people of God. Help us to worship you. Help us to love you. Help us to look upon you. Help us to know what we need from you and how that you're able to supply those things to it today. And again, Lord, we'll just be thankful and give you praise and worship, for it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen. Amen. As I said, when you look at this little writing here, these few verses, 7 through 13, you see that there are some things that are given or said about this church in Philadelphia. When you look at those, I say there's an appointment for the church, and I want you to think about this as the appointment for the church. The church is appointed to be faithful. The church has been appointed to be faithful. Can I tell you, a lot of folks say, well, preacher, I can't sing like so-and-so can sing. You don't have to sing like that. I can't preach, or I can't teach, or I can't do this or that or the other. That's beside the point for what God wants out of every one of us. More than anything, God is interested in our faithfulness. Amen. Do you know that anybody in this building can be faithful? Anybody in this room, you can be faithful to the Lord. It doesn't take a special education level. It doesn't take a degree. It doesn't take a certain amount of money. It doesn't take a position in life or in social standing. All you can do is be faithful to the Lord. Amen. I mean, there's poor people in the Bible, and they were faithful to the Lord. There are rich people in the Bible. They were faithful to the Lord. There are people that were educated, and they were faithful to the Lord. There were some that had no education, but yet they were faithful to the Lord. Some young, and they were faithful. Some old, and they were faithful. Can I tell you, God looks for us. You know what he's going to say one day when you and I get to heaven? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. He said, you've been faithful over a few things, and I'm going to make you a ruler and a master over many things. What's he counting on? He's counting on our faithfulness. Our faithfulness. So let's look at this church, if you will. And it's a church, as I said, that we notice every other one. He had a lot to say to them, maybe to praise them, but he always had something to say, I have somewhat against you. But if you'll notice here, he hadn't said anything negative to this church. Boy, I tell you, I'd like to be a member of that church, but I think one day when we stand before the Lord, he's going to have some things to say to us and you know, show us our shortcomings and our negatives, if you will. But let's look at this and let's talk about the appointment of the church to be faithful. Let me say this first of all. If you'll notice this, the reason that this church is encouraged or appointed to be faithful is, notice first of all, that they have a faithful Lord. They have a faithful Lord. Listen to what he starts out and says, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and not denied my name. I want you to notice, first of all, hey, you'll see that they have in that church a faithful Lord. Can I tell you, the church today still has a faithful Lord. Aren't you glad God is faithful to us? The Bible tells us, great is thy faithfulness. Boy, I'm glad God's faithful to me and you. Hey, aren't you glad God's faithful to you? More faithful to you than you are to him? I'll guarantee you I am. God takes care of me. God blesses me. God provides for me every day because he is faithful. Paul writes about that over in the book of Timothy, talking about the faithfulness of God. He said, God, who is faithful? He said, I want you to know God's faithful, and he cannot and will not deny himself. God doesn't lie. God doesn't back up. God doesn't change his mind. When God says he is going to do something, he will do that, and he will not forget those that are his. He's faithful to his word. Amen? God's faithful. I want you to notice as he begins to talk about the faithfulness of the Lord himself actually is talking about, John just writing it down. But he says, these things write, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. First of all, don't you realize this, man, when he begins to talk about the Lord and his faithfulness, he starts out and says, I want you to understand, the faithful Lord has some attributes. The faithful Lord has some attributes. What are these attributes that he named? Well, really just those first couple of things there. He said, he's holy. Amen? Aren't you glad the Lord's holy? I mean, the Lord is holy. You remember what the angels say as they fly over the throne of God, as it's recorded here in this book, also in the book of Isaiah? Hey, the angels look at each other and they cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Amen. You know what that means? That means God's holy. And that word holy means he is separate. He is distinct. He is different than any other thing. He is clean. He is pure. He is lovely. He is to be a adored. He is the one that is on the right track. There's no evil. There's no wickedness. There's no vileness. There's no lewdness. There's no ugly in him. Thank God he is holy. Amen. You and I serve a holy God. I mean, God's holy. And you know what the Bible tells us? God, the Bible tells us in the book of 1 Peter chapter number 1, he says, be ye holy even as I am holy, the Lord says. I'm telling you, God's looking for some holy people. We forgot about holiness in our day. You know, we used to, you see people, and I just say we know people that go to a particular church, and their denomination is called holiness, right? That's their name for their, and you look at people, and I can remember growing up as a kid, you'd see somebody, and I remember mom and dad say, well, they must be holiness. And I'd say, well, you know, what's that? And they'd say, well, look at them. Look at the way they're dressed. They're dressed different. Look at the way they act, and look at their speech and all these things about their life. And buddy, they acted different. Can I tell you, if you're a child of God, you ought to look different than the world. You ought to talk different than the world. You ought to be different than this world, because the Bible has called us to be a holy, separated unto God kind of people. Why is that? Because he's holy. Amen. I mean, you see right there that Jesus himself speaking these words, he said, you write this down, John. He said, these things saith he that is holy. Our God is a holy God. I'm telling you, hey, there's nothing about, God doesn't think unpure or impure and ugly and vile and wicked thought. God is holy. Amen. A lot of folks wonder about when Jesus was here on the earth, and they say, oh, preacher, you know, Jesus surely had to have sinned. Look at all the situations he was in. He was in a lot of situations. But can I tell you, he was holy in every one of them. There was no thought that was vile. There was no thing that was ugly. There was no wickedness. I mean, brother, he looked upon the wicked and the vile and the unholy, but he looked at them because he was holy. He could help them and change their lives. Amen. That's the kind of God we got. He's holy. But not only does he, that attribute say he's holy, it says he that is holy, he that is true. He that is true. Can I tell you, Jesus, everything he does is true. It's right. If he tells you something, it's not a lie, it's not a scam. Amen? Y'all remember that here several years ago? Those knuckleheads would send you an email or call you on the phone, I'm a Nigerian prince. I have $50 million and I want to give it to you. And you're like, sure, buddy, bring it on, right? I mean, man, what a scam. But you know what? There's a lot of folks that got scammed by that. They would say, well, if you'll send me this much money so I can deposit that in your bank and then, you know, blah, 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 I'll do this for, and there's folks fell for it. But can I tell you, the God that I serve, when Jesus says he'll save you, he'll save you. He's not pulling your leg. He's not slipping one thing out here and pulling it back and offering you something else, changing the terms of the deal. He's not doing something underhanded. He's not telling you something he can't do. Brother, when he says that he can, he can. When he says that he will, because he is true. Why is he true? Well, I'll tell you why he's true. In John chapter number 1, verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Jesus is the Word of God. You know what he says over in John 17 and 17? He says, sanctify them with thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Can I tell you, the Word of God is true. Everything in these pages is true. A lot of folks say, well, preacher, I don't understand. I don't understand it all either, but can I tell you, it's still true. It's still right. It's still holy and just and leading you to the right place. So Jesus, first of all, hey, I'm telling you, he is a faithful Lord because of those attributes that he has. They point towards his faithfulness. But not only do you see his attributes, you see his authority. You see what he says there in that next little phrase? He that hath the key of David. Do you know who has the keys of anything? A person that owns it. Do you know that the keys put you in a position of authority? You remember what Jesus told John there in chapter number 1? Well, as he comes to him, he said, I am he that liveth and was dead and alive forevermore. He said, I'm he that has the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Oh, Brother Berman Cape used to get his out of his pocket. He'd kind of jingle them around a little bit. He'd say, I want to tell y'all something. He said, the devil ain't even got the keys to his own house anymore. Amen? Can I tell you that's the truth? Thank God Jesus has the keys. And whatever he opens, it gets open. Whatever he shuts, gets shut. If he gets somebody saved, they're saved. And you ain't getting in any other way. The door is locked to you. He can shut that and say, you're not coming in that way. You're not coming your way. The only way you'll come is when I open the door. Amen? He's got the keys. He is the one that has the authority today. Can I tell you? Boy, I know there's a lot of preachers that think they got the authority. We do not have it. We're simply under shepherds, under him, because he has all the authority. Jesus said, I'm the one that has. I mean, he's talking to John, one of the greatest apostles there was. There's times he talked to Paul, one of the greatest men of God in the Bible, one that wrote over a third of the New Testament. I mean, that's a pretty important fellow for us. But can I tell you, hey, Jesus is still the authority over everything. He's still in control. He talks about his attributes. He talks about his authority. And then he talks about his own appraisal that he gives of this church. You see what he says there in verse number 8? He said, I know thy works. Jesus gives them a little appraisal. He said, I've set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. He said, for you've got a little strength, and you've kept my word, and you've not denied my name. Jesus is giving his appraisal of what kind of church this is. Can I tell you, buddy, when you come in here and the Lord gives us an appraisal of our church, I believe he'll do it through the Holy Ghost of God. He'll tell us and say, look, you're in the right place. You're in the wrong place. You need to find another place, or you need to stick with this place and help this place out. I'm telling you, I want to be the kind of church that Jesus takes an appraisal and says, you passed it with flying colors. Amen. That's the kind of church I want to be in. So I want you to notice there, first of all, this church is encouraged to be a faithful church. And it's first of all because they have a faithful Lord. They have a faithful Lord. Can I tell you this? Second of all, he notices them, as I mentioned here, he gives them a praise love, but he says, look, I want you to know that your faithfulness is seen because you are faithful in the light that you shine forth. You're faithful in the light. I mean, look, they've got a light. Every church ought to be a light to their community. Jesus told him there in verse number 8, he said, I know your works. I know. I've set before you an open door and nobody can shut it. Do you know the Lord's opened some doors for us and we ought to go through them? When God puts them there, go through it. Amen. I mean, God opens a door, get in it and find out what he's got for you. Now, if he shuts it, stay out. Don't you try to barge in somewhere or something that you don't need to be in. You just need to be obedient to him as he opens the doors. But he's telling this church, I'm doing this. I've opened the door. Nobody can shut it. But notice what he says about this church. First of all, he says, for thou hast a little strength. Can I tell you, this church was a church, probably like a lot of churches are today. They're not very strong, but they're still standing. Amen. Not very strong. Jesus said, thou hast just, he says, a little strength. I mean, hey, you ever feel like that sometimes? I mean, man, you realize you've just got a little strength. It's not much, but whatever the Lord gives us, he'll enable us to do the work that he has set before us. Because he told them, he said, look, I've put an open door before you. I've got things set open for you, and I've given you the strength. You and I don't have the strength to open the door, but thank God when he opens it, he gives you the strength to go in and do whatever you need to do as you pass through that door. I mean, these folks here in Philadelphia, they weren't a real well-known or greatly recognized church. As a matter of fact, the Church of Philadelphia, if you remember back when we were studying in our studies in the book of Acts, we had some maps, and the Church of Philadelphia, or the area of Philadelphia, was between two mountain passes. It wasn't a real easy area to get into. It wasn't a place where everybody wanted to go, where business was done and trade was a big deal. It wasn't one of those kind of places. It was kind of a tight spot. It was in a place that wasn't glamour. It was a place that wasn't super well known. It wasn't a place that had everything going for it. Didn't have a port. Didn't have a good access. Didn't have a lot of rich people. But thank God, do you know what they did have? They had the strength to stand even though, hey, things came against them. Amen. And I'm telling you, that's the way it ought to be today. The church, a lot of folks want the church to be a glamour thing. Oh, well, preacher, let's get lights and let's get smoke and let's get all kinds of dancing. And hey, we don't need that. We just need to be faithful in what we got. Let's stand and stand strong. Amen. Amen. He said, you ain't got a lot of strength. And I'll tell you, when we begin to think we've got a lot of strength, we're in trouble. You remember what Paul said? Paul said, boy, Lord, if you just get this thorn out of my flesh, I'll be a lot stronger, I'll be a lot better, I can do a lot more. And God said, nope, not going to do it. You know why? He said, because my grace is sufficient for thee. Can I tell you, the strength of a church is in being faithful to the Lord and letting his grace pour over us and run over us and get and work within us, and we can go and do. Paul said, I found out when I'm weak, then am I strong. And I believe today the church needs to find the same thing. We don't have a lot of strength. I mean, we don't have a lot of influence. We don't have a lot of money. We don't have a lot of popularity. We don't have a lot of strength in this world. Do you realize that? But can I tell you, hey, when you stand for him, you can still stand on his word. You can still stand and do his work. You can still stand and walk in his will. You can still stand up and be in the right way of the Lord. Amen. That's what God's wanting out of every one of us. Get you some strength, and your strength will only come through him. Your strength will come through him. All right? He says, look, you're a church. Be faithful. You're not strong, but you're still standing. You're not renowned, but you will be respected. Look in verse number 9. He said, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. You see that? There, do you know today on the large scale, the church is not renowned. I mean, it ain't, you go out here and everybody says, wow, look, there's a member of Old Bethel Baptist Church. They don't care about you. Matter of fact, they hope that it fails. They hope the church goes down. They hope the church gets out of the way. The church is more of a hindrance than a help in this world. to the majority of people. But can I tell you? Hey, Jesus says here, he says, you're not well renowned by those of this world. He said, those that are the synagogue of Satan. You see that? What he's talking about there? That's false religion. That's the false stuff of this world that wants to try to act like there's something in the sight of God. Oh, look, we're this, we're that. You know, the big things that are out there and the big people that are talking and the big people that want to be known and maybe all awed and loved by the world. And they may be. He said, but guess what? He said, there's a bunch of those that are liars. Amen. Can I tell you, the religious people and the religious things of this world are liars. The religions of the world. Now, I'm talking about there is old-fashioned salvation. And that's what I am. I'm just saved, y'all. I'm just one of His. I'm just saved by the blood. I'm washed in that blood. I'm saved and redeemed because of what Jesus did on Calvary. Oh, but there's a lot of folks that, well, we want to go through our rites and our rituals and all of our religious exercises, and it's going to be this way, and we got to do blah, blah, blah. You know, we got to do all these things, step one, two, three, all that. Can I tell you, hey, we're not renowned by this world. Can I tell you, the world will look at you, and they'll kind of snicker sometimes. You go where to church? We wouldn't have that around us. We wouldn't be caught dead there. We don't think very high. There's not a renown for the church in the world. But do you see what he says? He said, they lie. He said, but behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. We're not renowned. Oh, we're not a church of renown. But can I tell you, there's going to be a respect one day that comes because this world will have to acknowledge that He loves His church. Aren't you glad the Lord Jesus loves His church? He said, they're going to know that I loved you. Amen? Oh, listen, this world is going to know that Jesus loved. Well, of course, Jesus said, they hate me. They're probably going to hate you too. But they're going to know that He loved us. Aren't you glad when God answers prayer and folks say, well, how did that happen? We prayed about it. How did this come about? We prayed about it. Well, how do you know you got an answer to your prayer? Because the Lord heard us. Amen. Amen. Oh, listen, you know, that song, I guess it was last week, I think we sang that, I know He heard my prayer, page 16 or whatever, 14, whatever it is in the book. And, you know, part of it says, the Lord has heard my prayer. Great joy, amen, is now my share. Thank God, aren't you glad when He hears and answers prayer? You know, and really, I don't care whether they recognize it or not. I'm just glad to know that He does still hear and answer His children's prayer. He will still hear and answer our prayers. So, we're not, one of these days, those that hate us are going to be exposed, and they're going to know that the Lord loves those that are His. So the church here is, he's saying, be faithful with your light. That light's going to shine. You're not real strong, but stand. You're not well renowned by this world, but you will be respected. And then last of all, he really says this in verse number 10. It won't be desired. The church is not desired by this world. But one of these days, we're going to be delivered from this world. Look what he said in verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Can I tell you, the Lord's going to take care of us. As I say, the church is not desired. People are not flocking in, as you can see. They're not flocking in to fill up the churches that are really preaching the gospel, that are really, and I'm not saying there's not some bigger churches that people are, I'm not meaning that, but I'm just saying, hey, the majority of this world is not running to the church. The majority of it is like, well, if that's what they need, if that's what, you know, that they feel sorry for us, amen. They won't join up with you. I mean, they won't be part of it. But can I tell you, thank God, one of these days, we may be despised and looked down on and thought little of by this world, but we're going to be delivered from this world one of these days. Isn't that what Jesus says right here to them? He said, I want you to know. He said, because you have kept the word of my patience. He said, you just keep on enduring. You just keep on hanging in. Can I tell you, church, hang in, amen? Because, hey, something better's coming, amen. Oh, listen, we sing that song sometimes about I'll never die, just be promoted. The second verse of it says, well, just hold on a few more hours. And then that old trumpet is going to sound, amen. Then the saints of God will be reunited when we all take off and leave from the ground, amen. Woo, can I tell you, hang on, folks. A lot of folks say, preacher, I don't like the way the world things are shaping up. Hang on a little while longer. I mean, the Bible says it's got to be this way. These things have got to happen. These things must come to pass. You just hang on. Jesus said, because you've kept the word of my patience. You've been patient through trials. You've been patient through the tribulation. You've been patient through the troubles that come your way. Just hang on, honey. He said, I'll keep you from the hour of temptation. Aren't you glad, buddy? This folks are saying, well, you know, all the political and all the geopolitical and all the economic, all that's bad and getting worse and all. Can I tell you, for a child of God, we're saying, look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. We're getting out of here. Amen. Oh, let me tell you something. Another songwriter said folks are building hopes down here and planning ahead. You know, they're so busy with their fortune, they forgot what Jesus said about the wars and earthquakes and the fig trees budding leaves. But I'm with a group of people that's getting ready to leave. Amen. I'm getting out of here. Amen. Amen. How do you know that, preacher? Because my Bible says so. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse number 13, Paul said, I'd not have you to be ignorant, brother. I don't want you to not know what's going to happen. He's talking about their loved ones that were asleep out there in the graveyard. He said, I'm telling you, one of these days, Jesus is going to blow that trumpet. There's going to be a noise from heaven. All those dead are going to rise up out of those graves. And thank God, we're headed home to be with him. Amen? And then it's going to break loose here on this earth. If folks are left behind here, it's going to be terrible. The Bible describes it as the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, I want you to understand, and we ain't got a whole lot of time to delve into this, but those things that happen beyond that, God's going to deal with his nation, his people, Israel. Most of those things, if you want to go and read further in the book of Revelation, you'll see that it describes some, you know, things that are happening. Brother Ronnie, talking about this morning in our Sunday school class. One of the first events that happened during this time, as this time unravels, one third, you can't even wrap your head around that, one third of the world's population is going to die from something in just a very short period of time. You know how many people that is? I hadn't really thought about it until you mentioned it this morning, Brother. That's about 2.5 billion people are just suddenly going to be dead. Well, how do we know who it's going to be, preacher? You don't. You remember when the COVID thing hit and everybody said, well, you know, you could get it and die or you could get it and nothing could happen. I believe it's going to be something like that. There'll be some of them it'll affect severely and some folks, whatever it is, and we don't know what it is, but we do know that it's coming. You know what? Those of us that are saved, we're out of here. We ain't got to worry about it. We'll be gone. We'll be there with the Lord. And hey, Paul said that we'll forever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. Amen? Aren't you glad you can have a time that, hey, the world does not desire the church to be part of it, don't want anything about it. But one of these days, the church is going to be delivered. I'm telling you, be faithful. Be faithful. All right, let's look at one last thing, if you will. Notice, hey, he says, look, all this is coming to pass. But he said, I want you to be faithful, to look. Be watchful. Look in verse number 11, notice what he says. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. He said, I want you to be on the lookout. There's some things, can I tell you, I mentioned to you, hey, all of these things that are happening. People looking around, they said, ooh, it looks like this is getting worse. Ooh, I'm hearing about war over here. I'm hearing about pestilences and famines and floods and all this stuff. Can I tell you, friend, that's what the Lord said was going to happen. Amen. In the last days, what did Paul say? Perilous times will come. There's going to be. I know everybody says, oh, well, we got the election and all this happens. Boy, it's going to be better. You better look out. It ain't going to get no better. There may be a reprieve, there may be a change, there may be some momentary, but I'm telling you, this thing ain't getting no better till Jesus comes. Amen? Oh, let me and tell you then, it's going to get worse for this world. There's going to be 7 years of a troublesome time on this earth, but the church is going to be sick. You know what we're going to be doing? They're going to be having all kinds of problems and issues and turmoil and trouble on this earth. You and me are going to be sitting down, and Jesus is going to come around to us. He's going to be serving us the marriage supper. We're going to be in His presence, and we're going to shout the victory, amen, because of who He is. Amen? Listen to what He's saying. I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast. He said, you just keep on hanging into what you got, that no man take thy crown. I mean, listen. He said, I want you to watch for some things. I want you to be watchful. First of all, He says, you're to be watching for that second coming. I am coming again. Acts chapter number 1. Jesus is leaving some last words for His disciples there on the hillside from the Mount of Olives. He's talking to them. He's giving them some last instructions, and they're saying, what about this? What about that? Jesus said, look, you don't need to worry about anything. He said, you just go over to Jerusalem till you be empowered from on high. He said, something's coming. Something's going to happen right now. I've got to go. Brother Langston says, Jesus, a cloud came down. Jesus stepped on the cloud. And He looked at the attendant and He said, heaven, please. And that cloud began to rise up. And those men stood there looking as Jesus ascended out of their sight. And then it said there appeared to them 2 men robed in white that said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing? This same Jesus that you see going away shall so come in like manner. He's coming back. Me and you are looking for it. Amen. Woo, isn't that good? Thank God, I'm glad that day is a-coming. It's going to come, and it's going to be here. Oh, listen, it's coming, and it's coming fast. He said, look for that second coming. Hold fast that which thou hast. Let no man take thy crown. Listen, not only that, He's talking about when that does happen. He says, I want you to be looking for the second coming. Be looking for a time when there will be stability. Look what He says in verse number 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. Boy, can I tell you, the Bible said there's going to come a time when the Lord's going to give us a place of stability. You won't be going anywhere anymore. You don't have to worry. He said, I'm going to make him like a pillar. I'm going to make him like a pillar on that foundation that I've set up. What foundation is? That's Jesus Christ Himself. And He said, you're going to be like a pillar in that foundation. You know what a pillar is? A pillar is something that is set. A pillar is something that is stable. A pillar is something that brings in the security, the firmness, the stability of all of that that's there. I mean, you put those things, a lot of you probably, if you've got a porch at your house, there's some pillars out there. Now, they may be fancy little columns. They may be 2 befores. They may be 4 befores. They may be all kinds. But they just bring some stability to the situation you've got, right? That's what the Lord said. If you'll overcome, when you overcome, you'll stand there with Him one of these days, and you'll stand forever. Amen. There's a stability. Hey, I'm telling you, there's no stability down here on this earth. Things change. Things shift. Things happen. Things come and things go. Anybody in here, I can remember when we bought our first house a long time ago, things started happening with it. I mean, you can go, and even in this building, you can go out there in the hallways and you can see places where it looks like, you know, things have shifted and the blocks or the 2 befores or the sheetrock or whatever it is. There's some separations coming there. Well, we got to fix that. Can I tell you? Up in heaven, everything's stable. In heaven, everything's set and sure. In Christ Jesus, everything is immovable. You're solid and grounded in Him. He said, to him that overcometh, I'm going to make him like a pillar in the temple of God, which is what we're going to be one of these days. But not only that, they're looking for, he said, you be looking for the second coming. You're looking for a stability and a stable time. And then last of all, he said, you're looking for some security. Listen to what he says about our security. He said, and I will write upon him the name of my God, which is, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Can I tell you there's going to be some security? What is the security? Well, the security is this. It's all wrapped up in the Creator and in a city and in the Christ himself. Do you see that? He said he's going to give you upon him the name of my God. He's going to write the name of God upon us. Now, how's that going to happen? I don't know. But I can tell you, my Bible tells me in the Old Testament that our names are graven in his hand. He looks down there when he saves you, and your name is in the hand of God. Amen? How much more secure can you be than that? When your name's in his hand, and you've got it wrapped up by his mighty power and grace, thank God, you can't get any more secure than that. Amen. He said, not only that, he was going to put us in a new city. And it's a new city that's been built by him, which is called the New Jerusalem. Amen? Oh, listen, you used to, people would say, well, I can remember back when. You remember back when? I remember when I was growing up, you know what? Rossville was a pretty nice place. Go over there today and what you got. Ain't hardly as nice as it used to be, is it? I can remember when you could go to some other places, Chattanooga, and there's certain areas of Chattanooga. You think, man, that's going to be great. It's going to be like that forever. Oh, my, but things happen and things happen. You know what? There's no security in the things of this earth. But when God brings down that new Jerusalem, can I tell you, peace is going to reign there? Hey, I'm telling you, joy is going to be to the full. I'm telling you, it's going to be glorious and great. It's going to be called down out of heaven by him. It's coming here to this earth. And thank God, you talk about a secure place. Hey, we won't have to have a bunch of police running around. Amen? I'm watching them on TV the other day, and they had to have the security come out at the football game. Somebody say amen right there. Huh? They was out there because people was boiling up and fighting and carrying on. And all. They said they had to bring out pepper spray and spray some of the crowd. Huh? Would you like to have been there? I don't think I would have. They were talking about how the checkpoints were going at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. It ought to have been a time of joy and all that stuff, but there's a bunch of police around. You know why? Because it wasn't a secure place. There's a lot of areas you can go to in this world, and you better be careful when you go there. There's reminders that said, hey, it's not a safe place to go if you go over here to this city or this country or this area. Where is it? You better be cautious. You better be careful. You better look out. Why? Because it's not secure. Can I tell you, when you get to the city of God, there's going to be somebody there smiling to meet you. You won't have to worry about the police presence. You won't have to worry about the army. You won't have to worry about getting kicked out or anything going wrong. We'll be in a place that's grand and glorious forever. What a security there is in that. Hey, there's a security. But then last of all, remember, he said, and he's going to write their name. He said, and I will write upon him my new name. I don't know what my new name's going to be. It might be Knucklehead. I don't know. It probably ought to be a lot of times. Amen. But, hey, he's going to write a new name on every one of us. He said he's going to put his new name in our forehead. And, buddy, isn't that something? And it's going to be a name that none of the rest of y'all can have. I don't know what yours will be. I don't know what mine. It might be some Jewish thing or what. I don't know. Hebrew, I got no idea. But can I tell you, if he gives it to me, hey, it's because I'm his and he's mine. Amen. And I can't tell you nothing better than that. That's some stuff that you and I ought to be faithful in looking forward to seeing one of these days. Are you? Oh, listen, he tells the church here, what I want you to do is remain faithful. Faithful to the Lord. Are you faithful to him today? Wouldn't you love for that to be your name? Oh, but can I tell you, I don't think that can be our name. Because it says when Jesus comes back out of heaven, further over on the book of Revelation, when Jesus is coming back to get rid of all of his enemies, it said there was a name written on his thigh. And you know what it said? Faithful and true. Amen. That's him. He is faithful to us. Are we faithful to him? Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing something this morning. Are we faithful to Him? He is faithful and true to every one of us. He loves us, and He wants to do something for His church, and He does daily. Doesn't He just load us up with all the benefits and all the good things of heaven? Amen. Oh, let me just tell you this morning, how faithful are you? Are you faithful to Him? Are you faithful to His cause? Are you faithful to His church? Are you faithful to His people? Are you faithful to His work? Are you faithful to Him today? Let's stand, if you would, this morning. What are we going to sing, Brother Ronnie?
Page 117.
Page 117.